You're listening to Shannon Taylor Talk, your global, mobile, social network radio cast. What's your status? Hi, thank you for joining us. Today we are talking with Dr. Norm Shealy, a neurosurgeon and founder of both the American Holistic Medical Association and the Pain Rehabilitation Center at the Shealy Institute in Missouri. His published works number over 285. Dr. Shealy has most recently completed work on a documentary based on his pioneering research in the field of pain management and alternative health. The documentary is called The Secret Code, the Medical Renaissance Series, a fascinating look at the future of healing. You can view clips at www.medicalrenaissance.net. And for more information, you can reach Norm Shealy at www.normshealy.com. That's NormShealy.com. Thank you for joining us today, Norm. How are you?
I am delighted to be with you. Thank you. And I am excellent. How about you?
I'm very happy to be talking with you because I've been a follower of yours and Caroline Mace. And I just want to tell you, you've really helped me a great deal going through the ups and downs of life and managing stress and pain. I too have had the migraines and the depression and the life, the issues, stress and so forth. And so I have used your Ring of Fire and your Ring of Earth and all of those meditation techniques to help me calm down and relieve my migraines. And I just want to thank you for your help personally.
Right, your pioneering work.
Your pioneering work. Let's talk about your film project.
Well, basically, about 4 years ago now, when What the Bleep Do We Know came out, I thought, isn't it fascinating that they're telling us all this stuff about quantum physics, but no practical applications? Mm-hmm. Now I thought about the fact that holistic medicine's been around for 30 years, and the public really doesn't know a great deal about it, so we decided to show what I consider to be the most effective approaches for the vast majority of illnesses, ranging from pain to depression to high blood pressure, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so that's what we did. We brought in three new patients who had failed everything conventional medicine had to offer and put them through a two-week intensive all-day, Monday through Friday, treatment program. And then we brought in five patients who had been treated in the past up to 11 years earlier, showing that what we do works in a broader category of problems as well as lasts a long period of time. And then we brought in eight experts from around the country and in fact from around the world to talk about their concepts about looking at disease really as a stress problem. All disease, 100%, is a result of more stress than the person can handle.
All disease.
Most people don't realize. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And most people don't realize that stress is not just psychological, emotional. It's chemical. It's physical. It's electromagnetic. And, of course, those affect our interpersonal relationships as well as the unfinished business of an interpersonal relationship. So all of those have to be taken into account when dealing with any illness.
Do we lodge our personal histories in our bodies?
I mean, oh, you bet.
Because I found that when I started basically excavating, that I was relieved of a lot of pressure. You know, you release one issue and then you feel better. But would you talk about that, how we take that in?
Well, emotions are really not mental. Emotions are physical reactions to beliefs, to attitudes, to events taking place in our life. And so we know that we're having an emotional reaction because we get a sensation, a feeling in the body that something is wrong.
Right.
But you don't have feelings in your mind.
But
you have ideas and concepts in your mind. And so if you don't deal with anger, guilt, anxiety, or depression, if you just ignore it, block it, bury it, then it gets stored in the body. And it's sort of like a canker sore. It's waiting, festering, and it's going to come up in many, many additional situations. As one of my most favorite patient stories goes, one of my patients said to me, "I now realize I cannot afford the luxury of depression."
Yes.
And I would tell people, you can't afford the luxury of anger, guilt, anxiety, or depression. You need to deal with it now rather than 30 years later.
Deal with the anger in the moment. But what about for the people that don't know that they're really angry? They're so used to suppressing how they feel that they don't know what they feel when they feel it.
Well, they need to get in touch with feeling. A lot of people, you're quite correct, have blocked their feeling. So we start with what I call sensory awareness, getting in touch with what's happening in your body. And if you've got areas of your body, when you tune into them, where you get no feeling at all,
mm-hmm.
or where the area is tight, or where there's pain or discomfort, then that is an area that's blocked. And it probably is an area where you are carrying some of your unfinished business.
Emotional business.
Oh, yes.
And we think about, in our culture, we think about the emotion, showing emotions or dealing with emotions as a weakness, that, oh, I'm fine, it's just, and I hear this all the time, oh, you're being emotional. Or, you know, if you express, then it's, oh, you're being emotional. And it's not,
well,
rather than being healthy, and I think we do suppress, and then we pop.
It's nonsense to play a broken record about it,
mm-hmm.
you know, over and over and over again. It is not nonsense to say, I am angry,
mm-hmm.
I'm upset, I don't like what you're doing, and stop it! And sometimes it takes that. Now, I tell people they have only three solutions to any unfinished business. One of those is assertion. That can be a discussion, it can be a letter, it can be physical,
mm-hmm.
and it can be legal. That is the fight response.
Mm-hmm.
The second is to divorce the bastards with joy. If there is someone who is not, you know, who won't negotiate, with whom you can't talk, with whom you cannot discuss and come to some kind of solution, then, I don't have to put up with that crap and leave.
Right.
That is divorce. And it should be with joy, not with anger. If you're divorced with anger, you're just carrying it with you. And, of course, ultimately, it means going for sainthood. Accepting and giving those things that you cannot change.
Right.
And there are a lot of those in life, you know? I mean, I don't like, any more than anyone else, the fact that we invaded Iraq.
Right.
I thought it was one of the most stupid things the country's ever done. Of course, I think the bailout may be worse. But I'm not going to waste my life energy on it. And I'm not really going to fight it because that's not my place in life. So, you know, there's some things you do have to ignore. Now, it does mean, as it does, let's take the bailout, which is, you know, I think one of the, perhaps more stupid than Iraq or Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's only a token, you know, it's like the first troops in Vietnam. It's not the end of the war. And I called all of my own congresspeople personally. Of course, I didn't get them, but I talked to their secretary, and I said, I want you to tell this person, if they vote for this bill, I'm going to do everything in my power to get them out of office with the next election. That's assertion.
Right.
Now, I can't do any more than that, except to vote against them and tell everybody, and I send out lots of emails, that you should vote the congresspeople out of office.
Right.
And that's an active way of dealing with it. But if I can't do any more than that, I'm done. I detach from those things I cannot change. and I'm perfectly at peace with them.
Right, and the people who will not let that go, we have a, it seems like we have a divided culture. We have this this anger boiling of...
You know, we've always had a divided culture. I mean, the ancient Greeks had a divided culture.
Is that just the way...
The ancient Romans had a
That's
you know, it comes in spurts.
Mm-hmm.
But there have always been a left and a right. There's always been the materialists and the empiricists. And, I mean, they've existed for as long as we have even verbal history of what's gone on. And it's the left brain versus the right brain approach, so to speak. And there are very few integrated people who can look at and sense and rationally discuss both sides of the issue and accept that there is no perfect solution to most things.
Right. I've noticed that that people, when they get really sick, they have to get really sick, whether it's a cancer or some sort of tragedy, where they look for alternative healing, where they exhaust all of the medication, they exhaust all of the surgeries, they exhaust all of these things, and they have to look, then finally they look within. Why does it take so long for us to look within?
Well, unfortunately, that is the way most people are. You know, John Travis set up the first true wellness center in Mill Valley, California, back in the 70s. He went bankrupt because people will not pay for wellness until they lose it.
Yes.
People will not pay attention until they lose it. Look, we know now, excellent studies, that only 3% of Americans have the most basic essential health habits. Only 3% have the four health habits that are crucial by common sense: no smoking, a body mass index between 18 and 24, 5 servings of fruits and vegetables a day, and exercise a minimum 30 minutes 3 times a week. Now, to me, that's like breathing.
Right.
If you don't do those things, you might as well hold your nose. Stop breathing. And I've told smokers for years, I don't have anything to offer you. I have no treatment as strong as the poison that you're taking.
Right.
If you are 50 or 100 pounds overweight, I don't have anything I can do for you except tell you that you must lose weight.
Right.
Now, I can give you a dozen ways to do it, but it doesn't matter if you're not willing to do any of them.
But don't you, and also on the weight issue, because women especially have this issue, we absorb a lot of other people's emotions too. And the pain that we're not dealing with tends to come on as pounds. I noticed that I lost 30 pounds when I started dealing with my, like you say, unfinished business.
Well, I think no question about it.
It seemed to be emotional weight.
Yep, no question about it. I think all depressed people have some degree, I mean, all obese people have some degree of depression as well as anxiety.
Right.
But of course, you know, 80% of Americans are not happy. 40% of Americans are clinically depressed.
Do you think there's a correlation between what's going on in the economy with all the depression in the market with the depression of our spirits?
Well, but the market is recent, and depression's been around for
true.
A long time.
Right, and we are the most overweight country, are we not?
Well, that's true, and yet it is spread even to the third world countries.
I know there's pain. Why do you lock yourself up in these chains? No one can change your life except for you. Don't.